before we look at Elisha, I'll have to share with you about Elijah, because when I became a Christian, the first perhaps impressive film that I saw was a man called Peter Marshall's call into ministry. And in this film, Hal Todd plays the life of Peter Marshall. And when he gets to the church in Washington, D.C., the famous church there, he preaches a sermon about Elijah. And he is so impassioned. He's just on fire. You know, if God be God, then follow him. You feel stirred in this thing, you know. And when I was watching this as a young man, I thought, wow, to do that would be amazing. And, of course, God has led me to be a minister by his grace. Now, as I went to theological college, I did a class with a very interesting man who was actually at Trinity, Hector Hobson, his name was, and he ran a course at the theological college in the city on elocution. And he had us stand up in the assembly hall building and he said to us, now choose a passage of scripture to read, and I want you to read it, and we'll talk about how to read the scriptures. And so, you know, I chose 1 Kings chapter 18, because there's Elijah on the prophets of Baal, you know, taking them on. And you know, what does he do here? There's beautiful passages here where he says to the prophets of Baal, they're limping around the altar, and at noon Elijah mocked them, saying, cry aloud, here's a god. Either he's musing or he's relieving himself, or he's on a journey, or perhaps he's asleep, must be wakened. It's a beautiful passage, isn't it, to really get you into the mood of someone. He's mocking these prophets of Baal. And then, of course, when he comes and he says, and then Elijah called the people, come near to me, and all the people came near. He repaired the altar, the 12 stones. And then he said to them, you know, get the water and pour it out 3 times. And then, of course, the fire comes down from heaven. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord is God, the Lord is God. And Elijah said to them, seize the prophets of Baal, let none, no one escape. And they seized them, Elijah brought them down. Elijah said, you know, it's full of passion, this story. So I chose it for this elocution time. And I was getting carried away in there, you know, in the assembly hall about Elijah and the prophets of Baal. And little did I know that God was going to lead me to a church where the prophets of Baal were right in it. And I was going to have to be standing in that assembly hall building challenging the prophets of Baal. The Freemasons. The Masonic movement. You know, this is all God's plan, not my plan. But isn't it interesting how he prepares you beforehand? God is at work in our lives. Today, he's working, and he knows what you're going to do in 10 years' time, and what is happening right now is preparing you for that time. This is our God. He's at work in our lives all the time, even though we don't fully understand what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. So you see, these two prophets, Elijah and Elisha, they're really my heroes. They are magnificent men who were in touch with God, who understood how he worked. And Lamb preached this morning, and he was really fired up there. Hallelujah. He talked about these ministers drawing, you know, funds for themselves. Well, I love Elisha, because when Naaman comes to him with all his gold and everything else, he says, take it away. I don't want this gold. You don't pay me for what God is going to do. He's a beautiful man, Elisha. He's got a close walk with God. And as you have in this story tonight, this is a magnificent story. Elisha, he's taken on the mantle of Elijah's ministry. His anointing is becoming clear to those who hear of his life and works. From the time that Elijah was transported into heaven, Elisha has shown that God is with him. And there ought to be evidence in our lives that God is with us. Now, I think Lamb said today, you know, he couldn't do what he was doing if God was not equipping him to do it. And every one of us ought to know this. If we think we're doing what we think we can do, well, then probably you're in trouble. Because you need to be in a position where you can't do, and God equips you to do. Out of your comfort zone. I used to say to the RE teachers when they'd been teaching, you know, grade one for a little while, Carlene was there, oh, you need to change, you need to get into another grade and teach a grade you haven't taught. Because you need to be tested. And then you'll find God meeting you. And all of us need to know this. Elisha, there was evidence God was with Elisha. It wasn't just Elisha. The same was true with Elijah. And remember, he had to see Elijah going up into heaven if he wanted a double portion of the Spirit that was on this man. And he wanted it. He wanted that double portion. Well, the double portion came upon him. He took the cloak of Elijah. He laid aside his own garments. He put on this cloak. He went to the Jordan River and he, what do you read there? Took hold of the own clothes, tore them in pieces, took up the cloak of Elijah. He took the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water. And the water just parted and he walked across. And the sons of the prophets saw this. God is with this man. There's evidence of God at work, not just Elisha himself. And then we have the account of the Moabites who attack Israel, which Elisha declared would fail. And Israel would have the victory. And Jehoshaphat, remember in that story, had declared that the word of the Lord was with Elisha. How did he know that? How did Jehoshaphat know the word of the Lord is with this man? Because when Elisha spoke, Jehoshaphat saw the evidence of what he said. It took place. And he knew. And the widow's oil continued to flow. So Elijah, before the prophets of Baal, who raises the son of the widow of Zarephath, and what happens with Elisha last week? He raised the son of the Shunammite. The same evidence, God is with him. Well, tonight we have a story about an innocent mistake made by one of the sons of the prophets in training. In this story, we need to pay particular attention to how the problem is overcome. It contains an eternal truth that aligns with how God restores broken lives, sinners to repentance, and heals wounds in our lives. How God works. And this is so important to understand. We read that Elisha came to Gilgal. Remember Gilgal and Bethel, these two places that were really centers of worship in Israel, but had been corrupted. Gilgal was where Joshua had placed the 12 stones to remember what God had done in opening up the Jordan River and letting the people come into the promised land. And yet it had become a place of false worship. Well, Elisha goes to Gilgal and there's a famine right in that place. The people were struggling to find enough food to live on. God judges us, communities, nations, when we disobey, and particularly his own people who disobey. In the days of Elisha, Gilgal and Bethel, two central places of worship, become corrupt. They'd been places where Samuel had gone on his annual circuit of Israel in teaching the truth about God. Remember Samuel, he restored the people to the living God. He kept telling them about Jehovah Sabaoth, the God of his mother. And actually the truth that Hannah brings is a truth that's on Elisha's heart. God adds. God adds. Do you hear that? God always adds. We so often want these things taken away, but God adds. His whole mode of operation is to add. God brought me here to this church. He added me to this church, knowing there were Masonic elders, a previous minister. God adds. God adds by sending his word into situations. He adds his word. God adds all the time. He is adding. Even if it's judgment, he's adding something. And this is so important to understand. Because in our thinking, often we are trying to subtract. We see problems in our lives. We see problems in other people's lives. We see brokenness. And we try and get rid of that instead of adding the vital ingredient that is needed. God adds. You need to have that on your mind all the time. God adds. Well, we read the story here. Elisha came to Gilgal. There was a famine in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. So these men, these younger men who were training to be prophets, were sitting at the feet of Elisha. That shows an incredible sense of respect, of submission, of learning. And what happens when you place yourself in that position? What will happen for you? You will have things added to you. See, pride resists things being added to you. You think you already know. The secret of receiving from God is to sit humbly before him and receive. You can't receive when you're not willing to receive. But God adds. He just adds and he goes on adding. And the anguish in his heart is that people will not receive what he longs to give. God resists the proud. God opposes. In fact, the Bible says he fights against the proud. But he gives grace to the humble. He adds, and he longs to do this. Constantly he longs to do this. Well, here the prophets are sitting before Elisha. He said to his servant, "Set on the large pot and boil stew for the sons of the prophets." Elisha wanted to feed them with good food, keep them sustained. Well, one of them went out into the field to gather herbs. He was keen to add some nourishing substance to the stew, and he found a wild vine and gathered from it a lap full of wild gourds. There, look at that. There's a bush here with gourds. Gourds, you know, they're like small pumpkins, little things. And wow, what a find, you know. He's got it, he's cut them all up, and he's brought them back, and oh, pops them in the, you know, in the stew. What a find. And cut them into the pot of stew, not knowing what they were. He has just put in poison into this stew. But he didn't realize it. Now, friends, there are people all around us putting poison in their stew and they don't realize it. They do not know what they are doing. They are adding occult practices to their lives. They are going to the seances and they are doing all sorts of stuff. They're adding poison to their lives. They're going to the Masonic Lodge and becoming part of its arrangement. They're adding poison into their lives. And many of those Masonic men did not know what they were doing. And they added it to the pot. And then we read here, they poured out some of the men to eat. But while they were eating the stew, they cried out, "Oh man of God, there is death in the pot." Death. Well, when I came to this church, there was death in the pot. And there is death in the pot in many churches, actually. And so easily we think the way to fix it is to get rid of the poison. God knows how to transform the poison. One of the greatest thrills to me was seeing Phil Calloway converted. I can tell you that lady just changed. Because God added something into her life. The truth of the gospel and the Holy Spirit that came into her life. And was she shining at the end? I can tell you she was shining because her daughter Debbie was sitting on the bed who'd been absolutely against me for years. And I'm right in the room and there's Phil just about dying. And then she says to me, "Oh, Michael, I need to say something to you." Oh dear, what's she going to say now? And she said, "I need to say sorry." We could see the blessing that has come to our mother. Oh, hallelujah! Because God added to the pot. God adds to the pot. You'll see, here we have death in the pot. And what does Elisha do? He doesn't say, "Well, chuck it all out and start again." He says, they couldn't eat it. He said, "Then bring flour. Bring some meal. Bring some good ingredients." And he threw it into the pot, into the poison. Dear friends, you are sitting here tonight and there was death in your pot. Your life and my life were corrupt with sin and corruption. How did God fix the problem? Did he get rid of us and chuck us out? What did he do? He gave his son. He sent him. He added Jesus to this world. And then Jesus taught the truth about the kingdom of God. And what did Jesus say we were to do the most? We were to ask. And what does that mean? God will add as you ask. God will add as you ask. What did God do a few weeks ago? He added $110,000 to our finances. Why did he do that? Because people were asking. God can provide anything. And he always works by adding. And in every one of our lives, the reason why you have been changed is the Holy Spirit has been added to you. If you haven't got the Holy Spirit, you will never be changed. The only way God can fix the death in the pot is by adding his Spirit to our lives. And this passage is so important in relation to your engagement with people, where there's death in the pot, where there's things in your families and other things. God wants to add some vital ingredient into that situation. Sometimes it's a word from him, like a sword. But he will always add to that situation to heal the death in the pot, to remove the poison. He does it by adding. You know, I got into the Presbyterian Church. I knew nothing about the Presbyterian Church. I'm not a Presbyterian from heritage at all. I knew nothing. I was converted in a Presbyterian Church. I thought, wow, this is a great church. These people really love Jesus, you know, and I got all fired up and then I came here. And then I found out it wasn't just here. It was all over the place. There was all sorts of problems. Oh, Lord, I want to get out of this place. And that's so easy for us to do. But God adds us. So we can be the instruments to make a difference to the death in the pot. And it's so clear. Why did we have the passage from Acts? In the book of Acts, these disciples, they knew God adds and he changes things. First of all, of course, he added the Spirit at Pentecost, poured out the Spirit upon them. And in a short sermon, I talked about it the other day, You know, Peter basically just said, well, Jesus came and he died and he rose again from the dead, and you guys, you were against him, and 3,000 souls were converted. What an amazing sermon, eh? Probably took him 5 or 6 minutes. But God was adding the Holy Spirit. And then they went forward and they proclaimed Jesus. They were adding the name of Jesus into the scene. And the religious leaders hated them, because all these people were getting converted. And so they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. What's hard to do when you're in a situation with other people who are unbelievers? Is it easy to speak the name of Jesus? Oh, thank you, Doug. It's not easy, is it? Because we can't do it in our own strength. God has to empower us to speak that word into that situation, to add Jesus right there. But we have to be added to first. And this is what happens with these disciples. They're intimidated by the Sanhedrin and told not to speak anymore in the name of Jesus. And we read, they released. They went back to their friends, reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord. And going on and on and on. They lifted their voices together to God. Now, Lord, they said, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal. This is adding, isn't it? Adding with signs and wonders performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. God adding extraordinary things to the situation to heal the death in the pot. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, adding the Holy Spirit. God adds. You've got it? You go home tonight and you'll say, God adds. God adds. Today, tonight, tomorrow morning, God adds. And we're trying to do everything in our own strength, but God wants to add his own presence, his own power, his own influence. Because when his presence and influence are added, he removes the poison in the pot. He brings conviction of sin into people's lives. Not condemnation for what they've done, conviction. And they see Jesus. God adds. And I tell you, this truth has driven me most of my ministry life. God adds. You're to go into the situation. They might have been right against you. It doesn't matter. You need to go there. You need to add me to this place. Of course, you can't do it, can you? There's been many times where I've felt absolutely, completely overwhelmed. I can't do it. You need to add to me, Lord, just like these people here. You need to add your Spirit, empower me in order to keep doing what you've told me to do, which is to add to the situation. God adds. And this beautiful story, of course, ends with this lovely account of a dear fellow recognizing that there's a famine, and bringing, a man came from Baal Shalishah, bringing the man of God bread, the first fruits. You know, this man is a devoted servant of God. He's bringing the first fruits of his produce to the man of God. He's wanting to make sure these sons of the prophets are kept healthy and well. And yet he's bringing it to Elisha. 20 loaves of barley and fresh ears of grain in his sack. And Elisha said, give it to the men that they may eat. And the guy's going, but I brought it to you. Isn't it lovely what Lamb said today? This man Elisha's not taking it to himself. He's wanting you to give it to the others. And the man says to him, how can I set this before 100 men? So he repeated. Elisha said, give it to the men that they may eat. How did Elisha know this? Because God... I don't think you've got the message. You haven't got the message. God adds. God adds. He says, give them to the men that they may eat. Remember Jesus said, give and it will be given to you. Pressed down, flowing over, because God adds. God adds. So he set it before them and they ate, and some left over according to the word of the Lord. God adds. Amen.